Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 924. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Eric Nelson. Hello, what? Sir.
Who said what now? What's going on, folks? Good to see you, Kevin. Good to not see everybody. Can't see you, but good to be seen, but can't be seen. Good to be heard.
I guess both of us actually have our camera on, and maybe I could have video recorded this and thrown it up on YouTube because Jeremy refuses to turn on his camera.
Why? Because he's not powerlifting while he's doing the show?
Yes. he is not wearing his unitard, so he does not feel like he's really in a wrestling mood when we're doing the show.
If he's not lifting or having a flight or chicken and waffles, is it really worth showing off?
No, I'm just kidding. It is not.
I miss that guy.
Maybe we should make that happen sometime here soon too.
About 76 episodes, baby. Milestone.
That was one of the things I was gonna note. Not a milestone episode, just 924 here. You talked your way into it with some enticing ideas, but the WWE has actually been quite entertaining recently.
It's been a real news outlet, huh? Because it's a good thing nothing's happened in wrestling since the last time you and I talked. At least nothing surprising. I mean, look at all this giant leadership change. Are you kidding me? Scott D'Amore fired from TNA? Sends ripples across the wrestling ecosystem.
That was one that I guess it was a little bit surprising given what it seemed like he had a real stronghold on that situation.
Sure.
At least in the wrestling world, TNA has been about as relevant as it has been in quite some time because of some of the talent that's stuck around because of him. Like, I guess I wasn't that big of a Team Canada fan. Well, I mean, I was kind of a Team Canada fan, but I never found him, like, that good.
I didn't think he was, like, a particularly integral part. I'm like, all right, Bobby Roode, I get it. Petey Williams, I get it. And then they just have some lackey hanging on. I'm like, you're the grand wizard. I'm trying to think of like old timey managers that really served no purpose other than everybody needed a manager. Behind the scenes, and the fact that he was friends with everybody is about the extent I thought of his necessity 20 years ago. Then he somehow managed to work his way up, and then work his way out.
And that's kind of been an interesting one where nothing concrete has come out, I guess, yet on whatever that situation is. But yeah, I mean, and you kind of wanted to, you brought it up because, I mean, Scott D'Amore is just not that, you know, like, I don't care. Like, TNA still doesn't reach enough people that it's really worth getting too wound up about. Like,
no.
You know, you need some type of thing. And if those, I mean, what, I guess one of the theories for D'Amore, what, he was pushing for more budget and they want to cut. And it's just like, okay, well then, yeah, you guys are going to be what you're going to be. Like, you're going to be a step above a standard indie, but that's it.
Yeah, you're going to be an indie with TV, maybe somewhat more accessible somehow. Yeah, I don't know.
Because, I mean, it's so easy to watch indie wrestling. Like, I guess, because I still have the independent wrestling TV, but I guess I just haven't watched it as much as I was for a while there. And Fight TV is the other one online that it seems like if you're going to pay for a service, that's going to give you more content options, at least.
Sure.
Than TNA.
Yeah, I always feel guilty because one of the things that's on Fight TV, I think, is a pay-per-view on a regular basis is the Wrestling Revolver, which if I got it on about an every 8-week basis, if I got in my car and drove about 3.5 minutes west of my house, I could be at a Wrestling Revolver show. Oh. Even from the comfort of my own home, I don't get on Fight TV to see their shows. I've been to one, and it was entertaining. I had a good time, but yeah, as accessible as wrestling is, I'm not accessing it. I will say this though: I think it's interesting that Anthem, as the owner of TNA, somebody turfed D'Amore out. They're like, the person that took over the spot as president is like, oh, he's been with Anthem for 16 years and he's got 30 years of experience. And it's either some money mark or some guy that, like, back in the WCW days when it was a bunch of like Turner office people and then like Bill Watts or and then Eric Bischoff. This is going to be one of those corporate suits that's not going to know what to do with a wrestling show. And
it does not seem like a good situation at all.
Yeah,
especially true, like when your top stars are like, "Hey, it really sucks that this guy's gone now." Like, not a great spot to put yourself in. Like, you, at a minimum, you have a large hole to dig out of.
Yeah, again, just like the fact that Scott D'Amore was like. Like an indie promoter, I think, or whatever he was 25 years ago. So he's just kind of like a hanger on friend. Like, if we keep this guy, if we help this guy in this part of his career, as soon as he gets let go, he'll keep booking us on his indie shows.
Yeah. I mean, some of those guys have somewhere to go. Some of those people, though, I don't want to say it's quite an old age home, but it's getting there. I mean, the fact that we saw like Chris Sabin wrestle at the first WrestleMania that we went to or something like that.
Right.
It's just like, man, that gentleman is not getting any younger, and he is on their roster.
Who is Eric Young back there too?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, it's like they're just stuck in 2006. However, I mean, this is something that's happened since our last conversation. The former Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth, your buddy from Kent State, he's with TNA now.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my first top 10 list of the night.
Oh, boy. And just for those at home, no advanced warning. So let's see how this works out on my end.
I went down a David Letterman rabbit hole a while ago, including some of his top 10 lists. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to just, if something springs to mind, I'll throw something out there and see how it goes. And this one came to mind even before he made his move over to TNA. So in the vein of David Letterman and his old top 10 lists from the home offices in Wahoo, Nebraska, here are the top 10 things Dolph Ziggler wants to show the world. If you recall, his time in WWE, his theme music for about 4 or 5 decades had something to do with how he is here to show the world. Top 10 things Dolph Ziggler wants to show the world. Number 10, you can have sex with Amy Schumer and live to tell about it. Number 9, what it looks like to order Shawn Michaels on Wish. Number 8. That you can win 14 titles in the WWE and still not have a Hall of Fame career. Number 7.
Oh, Jesus.
Top 10 things Dolph Ziggler wants to show the world. Number 7. What's on the other channel? Number 6. That in 15 years, going from wet hair to dry hair counts as reinventing yourself. Number 5. What overrated looks like in the dictionary.
Oh,
number 4, that he's the 4th best thing to happen to Kent State. Number 3.
Yeah, I don't even think he's that high.
Things Dolph Ziggler wants to show the world. Number 3, how to pay the rent with only potential. Number 2. That you can be loved, you can be hated, or you can be Dolph Ziggler. And the number 1 thing Dolph Ziggler wants to show the world is little Nikki. Ba-da-ba-ba. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's on par. I always felt like the number one for Letterman was always something of a letdown. Like, it's just like, why is this always a letdown? Like, everything's been brilliant up to this point.
I think his theory and his writer's theory was they get a built-in pop from, like, the band playing and everything else.
Oh, so, yeah, so they don't put the big one at the end.
Right, yes, exactly.
Oh, man.
The problem is I got another one in my holster here that I'll have to break out later.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of, yeah, he's at best number four. Because James Harrison's got to be on the list ahead of him. Anyone who has the longest play in Super Bowl history, especially as a defensive player, that and, well, quite frankly, the weight room for the football team is named after him also, so.
Yeah, definitely.
He qualifies. Also, Steelers linebacker from the famous 70s teams, Jack Lambert, old Kent State Golden Flash. The only, well, at least at the time, what was it, 74 when they won a bowl game. Before my days, actually, is a human being. But the one time that Kent State won an actual good bowl game when it was hard to get into bowl games, Jack Lambert was on said team. And then who the shit was? Boy, way above the list, honestly, before those two jokers, but at least being in the sports realm, Julian Edelman, wide receiver for the Patriots for quite some time, Kent State quarterback.
Of course.
But then what? Also, Arsenio Hall actually graduated.
Ah, cool.
And what's his name? Drew Carey always mentions that he failed out of Kent State.
Thanks a lot, Drew Carey. Well, I tell you what, you're not giving yourself enough credit because my top four list was you, Jeremy, and the Massacre.
Yeah,
Nick Nemeth ranks below that.
That seems like an appropriate list.
Oopsie-daisy.
Yeah, there is no getting around that news.
No.
Especially when the architecture school literally was the site of the shooting.
Whoops. Yep. That happens. You've improved the lineage since then.
At least trying.
So.
Speaking of lineages. Vince McMahon's lineage, what is it going to be? Waka waka. Oh,
depends on who he's paying hush money to and how many generations deep that goes. Just like nothing about this. That's what I meant earlier. Nothing about this is surprising. No. I read through that 70-page-ish court document I don't know. It was like a short story.
Oh, you actually took the time to read through the whole thing? Oh, God bless. Doing.
I cruised through it.
I read highlights. I did not have time to. I'm not getting through like 10 pages of what am I reading right now? No, the second book in Game of Thrones, whatever that's called.
Okay, I don't know. But I was enthralled and disgusted, of course, like everybody probably was or should be at the same time. I couldn't put it down. It was a page-turner.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things in there that are, even though it's not surprising, it's still just like, wow, that is something.
And just at that man's advanced age, too. To still think that these things are good ideas, even feasible, you know, just, I, what a, and It's just funny, like, how, that's, you know, even pre-internet, you know, we're in elementary school, we're in middle school, we hear these rumors about what a creep this guy is, and they're the same rumors that somebody in Fort Dodge, Iowa heard as somebody in Columbus, Ohio, and all this stuff, and it's like, there had, just based on that, there had to have been a hint of truth at how much of a creep this guy is, and then just, it just exponentially comes out in the last couple of years. Not surprising. Very disgusting, a little bit frustrating, but I also have resolved myself. I'm way past the mindset, which I'm sure everybody is, of I have to separate the art from the artist. I have to forgive myself for liking this stuff. It's like, it is what it is, man. Like, I'll still go back and watch WrestleMania 6 on Peacock without thinking, like, this whole thing is clouded by, you know, the spirit of Vince McMahon. Like, whatever. That's a totally separate issue to me.
Yeah. Him being a terrible human being is just it is what it is.
Yeah. If we had that level of problem with executive level people in WWF, WWE, we would have all given up on this thing 35 years ago.
I mean, at a minimum. Do you give up at the – I mean, I guess I'm old enough and you're old enough. I would say the steroid scandal, just tap out. Because, I mean, at that point, like, I might not have known right away. But when I started to, you know, be in high school and still watching it, or junior high, it's like, yeah, those guys are on the juice. Like, I.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I knew that he was not a. I guess I did not think he was a good person at that point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Once you start realizing kind of who Vince McMahon really is in the whole scheme of things, but then no, I'd take it back a couple years earlier. You know, all the episodes of Donahue and everything else with all these people alleging sexual misconduct, and it's like, that should be enough. And there I went back. So there's a podcast called Behind the Bastards, and they do usually one-off episodes, maybe a couple episodes. It's a group of people that they do their research on bad people in history, and then they present their facts and joke around a little bit. And this was a 6-part series on Vince McMahon. They said it was the longest series on one person they had done since Henry Kissinger. And that guy's got some issues. So,
yeah, that guy has a lot of fingers in a lot of pots there.
Yeah, we don't miss him now that he's gone. But they ended the 6th episode with the stories of sexual exploitation, abuse, misconduct, and everything else. And we're like, if everything else that we've told you in the last 5 episodes up to this point wasn't enough, get a load of this. So it's just, when you really think about it that way, it's like, it's just, I mean, just a repeated behavior of just disgusting, a repeated pattern of disgusting behavior. Yet we're still watching to some level.
I mean, it's probably been almost the whole run of this podcast from day one that we've joked about how racist things are in the WWE. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and I mean, I know that opinion predates the website, even though that's been entirely too long. But
yeah, Michael Hayes would keep his damn mouth shut. Not let everybody know how big of an idiot he is.
Oh, man. We could have walked away a long time ago if Vince was that big of a problem. You know, there are a lot of venues or times that we could have gotten out.
Yeah, I am. I hate to say it because it's just salacious and it's just gossipy. But I'm really curious who WWE corporate employee 1, 2, 3, and 4 are that are not named by name in these court documents. Even though that some of them are like in the vein of, well, corporate employee number 4 walked past me in the hall and said, I know who you are. Like, even just that little bit, like, I'm still a little bit like, who is it? Kevin Dunn just left the other day. Like, he would, you know, he is a high-ranking executive within WWE. Like, could he be 1, 2, 3, or 4? Bruce Pritchard hasn't done an actual podcast for I don't even know how long. Is he 1, 2, 3, or 4? You know, like, who and who else do you want to throw in the mix? It's like I'm grossly curious.
Yeah, they are definitely available names, I feel like, given their tightness with Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Yeah, even though, again, according to the court documents, it's not like those people really did anything. It was, of course, the issue was their lack of doing anything about the culture of the company and what was going on and the fact that they probably knew what was going on. That's an issue. So I'm like, I want to put names to faces. I'm just curious.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if the curiosity is ever going to get resolved, you know?
They'll settle out of court and the whole thing will just get closed.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really surprised that between the breaking and the, like, when we've talked about it, I think the official, I don't know if it's Fightful mentioning that there is literally no chance in hell that Vince McMahon gets back in at this point. Like, this is just not surprising. I mean, the man was not young to start with. So, you know, it makes sense that that he's just gone for good at this point.
Yeah. He's not doing anybody any favors if he shows back up. And if he does, it's purely selfish, and that's not best for business. It does make me wonder, though, a while back when he was spotted and photographed on that double date with John Cena, it makes me wonder who is, like, A, who his date was, but and that poor lady, but B, like, what does John Cena know?
Oh my gosh.
Who's to say that other main eventers didn't know?
Yeah, like, all anyone that was in the main event seems like they're pretty tight with Vince, because, I mean, you know, I guess it's not surprising you probably got more FaceTime with him.
Sure.
Again, like, we've kind of talked about it on the other podcast, but you at least had to know from how a lot of the attitude and ruthless aggression era played out on our TVs. Like, I mean, it is literally right there for our pleasure? Evidence?
Yeah, evidence is right. Yeah, just this gross perversion. And then the stories behind it, too, you know? Like, I can't think. It was like, I don't remember, of all the people that Vince and his creative team asked to or told to make out with the females in his family, Linda and Stephanie. I can't remember who told the stories, or it's probably multiple, but it's like, oh, Vince, he's practically right over my shoulder. He wasn't even
Kurt Angle.
Yeah, it was Angle. Okay, I was like, just get in there, get deeper, goddammit. You know? what a creep.
There are a lot of angles that aren't illegal, but it's just, like, again, to go back to your first point, like, just makes this thing all not surprising at all.
No, it's not. It's hard to see. I gotta say, it's hard to see in here when people are coming to his defense, even if they're being cautious about it, or just other ways of not, like, directly addressing the fact that Vince is a creep. And this many stories make it very likely, allegedly, or however we have to cover our butts. But, like, even listening to Kevin Nash's podcast this last Monday, like, he was casting all these aspersions and doubts and everything. And also, like, he feels bad for Vince. Like, he's known Vince for 30 years. And, you know, he even admitted, he was like, Vince gave me my first break. Like, this is my guy, and his family is my family and all this stuff. But then he's like, you know, refusing to read the court documents and then making statements about them, where it's like, well, if she really did this, then shouldn't she have? And then, like, to hear the Jim Cornette saying that type of stuff too, and it's like, I'm pretty sure neither one of you have ever been groomed for future sexual abuse, so maybe you're talking a little bit out of your lane. But And I'm not going to apologize for them. Like, I get it. I get why they're doing that. I don't think either one of them is doing it, like, to get a job either. It's not like Jim Cornette said what he said on his podcast, thinking, woohoo, now Vince is going to give me a job, right? Like,
yeah, I do not think that he was ever expecting to really get a job out of them.
No.
You know, no. Like, that. Yeah. Think Jim Cornette, that ship sailed for him quite some time ago.
Oh, absolutely. No, though, one of the things that Nash said, you know, his co-host, Oliver, what the hell's the guy's name? I think it's, I don't know. I can't remember what his name is. Like, he does all the shoot interviews for, like, kayfabe commentaries or whatever else. But anyway, He was like, well, this will get settled. And then Nash's comment was, well, keep in mind, this is Vince McMahon, as in, like, he might just continue to fight this. Again, it's like, is that really how you want to go down swinging at 77 years old or whatever he is with this level of accusation and everything else, like, as a cloud over you? Like, if that's your temperament, you know, whatever demeanor, if that's your MO in life, I guess, keep fighting it. But, man, you're just dragging your own name through the mud.
Yeah, well, yeah, it just seems so unlikely to... given that man has paid out a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
And he's got a lot of money, and he just sold all those shares of the company, too. So now he's got more money to pay out if he needs to.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But well, yeah. Goodbye, Vince.
Yep.
Honestly, like, I don't know how long it's been. Like, his, just how things work had passed him by a while ago.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's honestly been a drag on the main product for a while now. I don't know if that makes this easier to swallow in some ways, because it's just like, yeah, man, you needed to be gone at least 5 years ago.
Right, like, this isn't a case like it was 12 months ago where it's like, son of a bitch, he's back. He's like ghost running things, damn it.
Well, I mean, he did have the little time period, because that's why everyone supposes that Cody Rhodes lost at WrestleMania last year.
Right.
Because Vince came back for like 4 months or something to run things and then got booted back out by Endeavor. Like, he's like, oh, I'm gonna steer the ship on this sail, or steer on this sail. Yeah, sail, I said it right. Like, but I was thinking, like, oh, fuck me. So yeah, he sells and it's just like, hey, yeah, you're out. Like, I'm glad you could negotiate you know, all of this money for you to make, but you're out now. Like, yeah. Your little baby is not your baby anymore, sir.
You know who I blame for all this? I blame Chris Benoit. Because Vince blew himself up in a limousine, like, the week before or 2 weeks before. And if Benoit hadn't have killed himself and his family, then Vince wouldn't have had a reason to come back on TV all sad about it and do a tribute show and then do a make good after the tribute show, and then all of a sudden he's back on TV. Vince could have stayed off TV as of June of 07 and then just not have, like, maybe had yielded some other power in the company too over time. Oh no, power hungry Vince had to come back because Benoit killed his wife and kid and himself, and now he just had to continue to be a public figure. He could have ridden off into the sunset if it weren't for that goddamn Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I mean, Benoit really mucked things up. I kind of forgot that. Well, one of the reasons I forgot, like, I loved how I always remember when that happened, because I was down at Disney with my family, and Jeremy, in the infancies of text messaging, says, "Hey, Chris Benoit is dead," and then sends me a text about a minute later, "I'm not joking." And I'm like, why would I think you were joking, motherfucker? Like, that just...
You didn't respond immediately while you're at Disney?
Oh,
come on, man. Get back to me. This is no joke.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm worried about riding the train to tomorrow or whatever its ride name is.
Oh, man. What else is going on? So as we were talking before we went on the air, poor dad over here had to give two kids a bath before bedtime, not realizing it was going to be a 45-minute ordeal where they took Crayola pink paint, like soap paint, and splattered it all over the walls. It looked like a slaughterhouse. It looked like a murder scene, and we had to clean that up too. So because of all that, I missed what looked like a almost noteworthy, like maybe one news story pre-WrestleMania press conference.
I mean, I don't think this is could have gone any better for the WWE.
Yeah.
Like, I mentioned to Shahid on Tuesday, like, I don't watch SmackDown live. I'm not going to remember. If I watch it Friday night, I'm not going to remember hardly anything about it when we record Tuesday morning. or Tuesday night, I should say. So it's just like, I can't keep it that fresh in my head. So I always watch it late. And I saw all the outcry about The Rock coming back. And I watched the segment and I'm like, what's the big deal here? Like, nothing was made official. Like, why is everyone whining like a bunch of fucking bitches? So, like, when The Rock on the Pat McAfee show talked about the Cody crybabies, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. Because it was just like, yeah, I'm with you here. Like, and although at least some of this seems like work from Jump Street, and I'm starting to wonder if Ava really deleted her account because I'm not saying that there aren't idiots out there, because there are definitely idiots out there.
There are.
But is her, leaving of X/Twitter more of a pre-planned thing than maybe even I think?
Not any little hints like that or anything's a clue. I think that they have done a masterful job for the last 3 weeks of weaving a new angle into this story. First of all, the timing could not have been better to distract everybody from the Vince thing as much as they possibly could.
Well, okay. And then this is one last thing about the that's going to take forever to happen.
Yeah.
Like, again, repeat story on here. There was, as the lab described it, a 99.9% chance that the child was not mine. Yet a court case for custody of said child, lasted year and a half.
Oof.
4 months of which I was able to, try and get the child under my custody. I'm like, you motherfuckers, leave me alone. It's not my child.
Right.
Get out of here.
Right.
And yeah, trying to get this Vince lawsuit through, if it isn't settled and they actually go to court, it's going to be a while. Like,
I wish I knew more about the legal system and how these things work. Like, this is a completely different suit for a completely different reason. But I read that – so all of these different states are coming together to sue Google for, antitrust reasons and everything. And some judge was like, okay, well, we're setting the date for September of 2024. And it's like, what happened to, speed in these sorts of things? Like, even just to set a court date is now – you're 9 months out? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
The DMZ, I got to pick a number and sit here and play Candy Crush until you call me up? Like, what the hell? Can't this be more like McDonald's? Like, I was at the window 15 seconds ago, and now I got my meal. Come on.
No, it is not a fast process at all. So, yeah, that's the other reason why, like, you know, the word is out there with Vince. Like, what else do you do in the meantime? Like, I know that people are saying it's a story, you know, it's a good thing to distract people. Uh-huh. But it's just like, what new are you really going to learn? Or what? Are you somehow going to think Vince is more of a creep if more information comes out? Like, I think I've reached my creeped out level with Vince. You know, like, I think it's completely unnecessary for more to come down in that department. But yeah, I mean, it is a good thing to definitely have a more positive spin on your company than a sex trafficker being the head of it.
You know, anybody who like heard that news break and they're like, oh, I'm getting my chant ready, or like I was like, you know, I'm going to, If I were in a position to go to SmackDown that Friday after the news broke, make a sign that said, I washed my hair to be here, or something like that. But then it's like, well, The Rock's back. I don't need to do any of that stuff. I get to take the ride now. And just like, I don't know, all these little things are so beneficial to this angle, you know, which is great, because even hearing Rock on Pat McAfee, like, finish the story. I'm like, thank God somebody's calling these people out for glomming onto this phrase that just sounds so cringe every time somebody says it, that like it just needed this little twist. And you know, some of the best parts are obviously the familial connection between Rock and Roman Reigns, you know, the twist of like, here's a guy who was just named to the board of directors, the twist of, you know, they've teased a Rock Roman match for years, and we wanted it last year, and now we don't this year. And then for me, as like the semi-casual fan who's like, I get the Cody thing, but I'm not into super white meat babyface Cody that much. But now it's like, now anybody who might have been on the fence is like, you know, fuck Rock, of course we want Cody to wrestle this match, getting behind him like the white meat baby face that they want him to get behind him as. And it's like, everything just kind of like this like last week and a half, 2 weeks span or whatever is really building on itself well. Like, I gotta give him credit, which is good, because we still have to get through the laborious elimination chamber. You know, we're still a ways out from the actual card that we're all excited about. We got to get through the formalities of two elimination, however many chamber matches and all
that. It's usually the two matches.
Yeah.
Have like they started to fill one of the chambers, I feel like?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I can't remember which one. I have the press conference stuff called up. I feel like they might have mentioned something about it there.
I have TV results up, but, you know, whatever. I don't feel like looking at them currently.
Nah. I don't know, though. I will say this. Like, they've, you know, there are years where they do an incredible job with the long lead time to WrestleMania, and there are years where they don't. And I just hope that they didn't just blow their load tonight in this press conference. Like, the Mike Tyson stuff before WrestleMania 14, like, they found a way to keep that story going every single week, literally up until the end of the match between Michaels and Austin. So it's like, I hope to God they find a way to continue this momentum and not let Elimination Chamber and two injuries and like all this stuff be a hurdle. Like, I will give one credit to one other thing. I spent a year completely apathetic about Drew McIntyre, and he has turned me back around 180 degrees in the last 2 weeks. Like, I thought he was – I mean, I went to see me and a buddy went to see an NXT show here in Des Moines when he was the champ, the NXT champ.
Yeah.
And he, like, spent 20 minutes after the show walking around ringside, slapping hands, signing autographs. And me and my buddy were like, okay, this guy gets it. Like, there's a reason why they were positioning him as the top guy. And then COVID hit and fucked him out of all of his spotlight and all this good stuff. And then his trajectory just went straight down. And I'm like, who cares? Like, he's dyeing his hair black now, and like, he's just not doing anything. And like, is he with Sheamus? Sheamus is hurt. Is he with this person? This person sucks, and nothing ever happens with him. Dude, he's turned me around now in a week and a half, 2 weeks. So like, these little tiny building blocks are working. I just really hope they can keep it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's been definitely one of the better periods for the WWE here in quite a while.
Like, and all they needed was for Vince to go away.
And again, I just was not terribly surprising. Like, you know, I guess I don't feel like old fuddy-duddy guy almost ever. You know, it's just like, yeah, push for something. Like, I guess I'm always looking for something new or at least a different take on the same stuff. And just all of the Vince tricks, just, you'd seen them so many times, it was hard to watch them again, you know, and done poorly.
Yeah. Done like with what you said, he's just out of touch. And I know that people have kind of griped on that for a while, but like, you know, he turned into the out of touch promoter that he, you know, was putting out of business 30, 40 years ago. Like, oh, that's him now.
Yeah.
So to his credit, you know, he managed to put the right people in place to get to the next big thing. Like, his last big thing would be WWE Network. Like, to call him a visionary kind of ended there. But now he's got all the right people in place, the Paul Levesque's in creative and the Nick Khan's running the business and stuff like that, that like, the company's going to go on forever without
Yeah,
Vince.
Unfortunately for Vince, he hired the right people. know,
Vince,
like, it is kind of funny.
Right. Now he could, I mean, he could literally shit on anybody, and now he's not expendable. So he is expendable. So now he can go, and the company can run without him. Oh man, it's Vince. We're not going to see him inducted into his own Hall of Fame, I have a feeling.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. I did not think about that angle.
I mean, he would have been a shoo-in.
One would think that he would have inducted himself in at some juncture.
Hey, can I awkwardly segue into another top 10 list?
Sure. I mean, I don't think there's anything more to say about Vince or the... Is there much more to say about the press conference, really?
Not really. Like, we know our main event is Cody Roman, and it'll be cool to see how Rock plays a part on the Roman-Heyman side. That'll be fun.
Yeah, like, I guess I almost enjoy heel Rock. Well, I guess that's the one thing I liked about the Pat McAfee thing, is that in some ways The Rock felt, like, when he came out and did his usual shtick against Roman, I don't know if that played a role in people booing, The Rock, but it's just like, dude, your material is 30 years old. Like, your gimmick hasn't changed for 30 years. And that's, you know, in wrestling, like, I mean, you kind of at least need to update things at a minimum.
You know what?
Like, even
though,
if it's the same note.
What he did at the press conference, the, you know, keep my name out your mouth and slapping people and everything, now he's using Will Smith material.
Man, he's always cribbing from other people.
Ryan Gortz is like, I got one for you. Have you seen Chris Rock and Will Smith?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, I got a top 10 list. It's not a roast, okay? I'm not bagging on anybody anymore. I don't know why I even wrote this one, but I couldn't help myself.
Sure.
There's apropos of absolutely nothing and probably even dates me a little bit, but it's the top 10 things you'll never hear from Demolition. Three-time WWF Tag Team Champions, Axe and Smash, maybe Crush, more Axe and Smash. My childhood favorites from the home office in Sioux City, Iowa. Top 10 things you'll never hear from Demolition. Number 10, instead of face paint, we should wear N95s. Number nine. Oof. Mr. Fuji's cool, but we're more Sir Oliver Humperdinck. Number eight.
Okay.
Okay, number eight. Can we change our outfits? The leather's chafing me. Number seven. You want us to do what with our tongues? Number six. Can you even hear my drum roll? Should I stop doing
that? I have not heard your drum roll.
Okay, good. I'm going to stop doing that. I feel like I look like an idiot. No one's watching me. Number six. Top 10 things you'll never hear from Demolition. Number six. You know who I miss? Ole Anderson. I don't think you'll hear that from anybody.
I was going to say, Ole was in Demolition at some point?
No. I think he booked both of them and was just an old bastard. Number five. I'd rather be a bushwhacker. Number four. Yeah, we're into BDSM. Barry Darso's sweet mustache.
Okay. Oh.
Number three. Didn't Andre smell nice out there? Number two, here's our new partner, Squish. And the number one thing you'll never hear from Demolition. Hey, how much are flights to the WWE Hall of Fame? All right. Now maybe the Vince is out. Maybe Demolition can get their Hall of Fame bid.
that was one of the more cringy moments. I had a cringy moment with Squish at a lunch and learn. This guy kept on throwing out wrestling references.
Oh no.
And he had the three-man Demolition up there, and I'm like, oh.
Whoa.
And he called him the, I'm like, yeah, that's Crush. And I'm just like, oh my god. What am I doing here?
Yeah.
I do not need to be doing this in my place of employment right now.
Calling somebody out for their pro wrestling history.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Lunch and Learn presenter. You are not doing this properly here. That's Mr. Crush, sir.
Yeah, just get down here. Let me take over for you. That'd be great. Just look. Give me your note cards. I know who these three are. Was the theme because you being in architecture and him showing Demolition was the theme, like how architecture and buildings get ruined?
Honestly, I don't remember. It was because he had a number of WWE things peppered in his presentation.
Okay.
Because I also learned at that time that someone else in the office had actually heard of AEW and not watched the WWE. So that I feel like that is something of a rare fan.
Yeah, seriously. I did get, you know, once AEW hit TV, I had a couple people text me out of the blue, like, are you watching this? I'm like, non-wrestling fans asking me if I saw Sting. I'm like, who are you all of a sudden? People I've known for like 15 years that wouldn't have touched pro wrestling with a 10-foot pole. Like, is he staying on AEW?
Well, I mean, hey, you bring up a good topic that maybe you'd want to talk about. Sting, his retirement is less than a month away. And just last night, him and Darby Allin won the AEW Tag Team Championships.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I get it. I get it. You got to celebrate the guy. The guy has had a storied career. He's, you know, the sort of the mentor of Darby Allin in a way, obviously, storyline-wise. And I think this is a good way to build that character up more than it already is, which is already a beloved character anyway, you know. But to be, you know, to have the tag belts with his mentor, I think is awesome. I will say, yeah, like when, you know, I grew up on WWF, but shortly after I got back into wrestling, probably about a year later, my parents got cable. And the first thing I saw on NWA wrestling was Sting and the Black Scorpion. Like, that was my introduction to the NWA. And I'm like, I don't think this Black Scorpion thing is going to work, but Sting's awesome. And the dude, I mean, give the guy credit. Like, he can still do what he can do at, how old is he? Sting, he's got to be 67, 64. Okay.
I think
Sting wrestling age. Yeah. Good call. 64 years old.
Yeah. I think, you know, I looked that up fairly recently on the wiki. So I was pretty confident in that one, but yeah, I mean, I guess I have really liked, I'm like, they're sending Sting out with a bang here. Like, this is one of those ones where I'm like, you know, they're not giving him the AEW championship. You know, tag belts and pretty much insert company here are, you know, not the most important titles. I'll go to try and be kind.
It's like a story advancer.
Yeah.
It's not like the ultimate prize. It's like, you know, the thing that advances a story a little bit, again, whether it's like mentor, mentee, you know, student, teacher, situation, friends, brothers, whatever. Like, it's a way to forward a story along.
Yeah. And, I mean, I actually think that they did a pretty good job, too, with the Young Bucks just leaning into being assholes. I'm like, I am about as interested in these guys as I ever have been. I have not ever been the biggest of the Young Bucks fans. But I'm like, I can handle this Matthew and Nicholas Jackson just being pompous assholes. Like, that works for me.
To have them
be the heels to go against Darby and Sting in their last match seems... Like, I don't know if you're going to find a better group. Like, you're not going to... Thank God they're not putting Ric Flair in the ring with Sting for his last match. Like, that would be the most unnecessary of unnecessary things.
Oh, I don't even think AEW is that desperate for attention. I think that the Bucks are getting kind of what they want, which is a main event against a legend. They get the chance to be the bad guys, like ultra bad guys in this.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that concerns me is that if there's any chance that Sting and Darby Allin win this match, and Sting goes off into the sunset, they're going to have to retire the tag team championships and have another tournament.
Oh, my God.
I get if the Bucks win, but is that how you want to have Sting go out with a loss, especially if there's nothing to follow it up? Or do you have him go out with a win? And then I'm just kidding when I say, ugh, another tournament. But seriously, like, their biweekly tournament rotation?
Yeah, the WWE isn't a lot better than AEW, but AEW just it does seem like... I'm trying to think if it's even bi-monthly that they have tournaments. Like, I feel like it's somehow slightly more frequently than that, like every month and a half or something.
I don't get the appeal of them that frequently. That is too often.
Yeah.
I think that's why I so fondly remember WrestleMania 4. It was like the first tournament that company had had in forever, and one of the only ones they had had in forever. And it's like, now there's, I mean, you can't swing a dead cat in AEW without hitting a tournament bracket on the wall.
The WWE isn't much better, because what did they do, especially in NXT, watch even less of that, but they did, like, oh, the women's breakout star, men's breakout star, Dusty Rhodes Classic, yep. And I think they're going to be doing the women's version here upcoming. Now,
are they going to call it the Sapphire Tournament?
Oh, that would be hilarious if they did that. But no,
that would be cool.
I just think that they call it the women's version of the Dusty.
Whatever.
So, yeah.
And then they just did the Kevin Owens winning the tournament to wrestle Logan Paul.
Yeah, WWE has not been great about that situation. AEW's worse, but WWE is far from blameless. Far.
Sting deserves to go out as on top as they can have him go out with how AEW is set up. I think it's again, kind of back to the idea that more people than you expect, I think, know about AEW. strange people that have come out of the woodwork, as well as super fans and everything. Like, it doesn't feel like that big of a letdown to think that, you know, the stage that he was on for decades, that's gone now, the stage that they tried to put him on, that kind of shit on him a little bit, like, at least he's on a stage also that's like, eh, maybe not super equivalent, but close enough where it's like, if he's going to go out, like, at least he's not going out.
Oh.
You know, some indie, you know, like one-off pay-per-view sort of thing per the Ric Flair last match. At least he's going out at an appropriate level.
Yeah, on pay-per-view.
On a decent-sized stage. Yeah, on pay-per-view. As we all know, wrestling to, like, executives with the company, I think they still are. Hell, I don't know.
But yeah, anyway, and I mean, and he's had decent matches. Like,
yes, that exactly. Like, he can still kind of go for a 64-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild that he's at least trying to put it together. Like, I mean, I felt like he looked like a little bit of an asshat just waiting to jump down and attack everyone the other. Like, he just keeps on doing these hardcore spots, and they're mostly just dives off of high objects where people safely catch him. Like, I mean, I was dying that Big Bill was like, hey, you okay back there? Like, I mean, you can almost see him mouth it on TV. Like, he's making sure that the 64-year-old doesn't die on his watch. He's like, nah, nah, dog, this is not happening to me. And I don't blame him at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't kill off the golden goose just yet. Yeah, it's great. I mean, again, a storied career, somebody that I've watched from almost day one of me being a wrestling fan, and wish that I could have had the Bart Simpson blonde spiky hair, and always enjoyed it. It was funny, too, because for a while the rap on him was like, he'd get so excited in his interviews, he'd lose his train of thought. And I'm like, that actually kind of is a little bit endearing, where he's like, I'm so crazy, I don't know what to say. And then he'd just scream and then go back to
it.
Surfer dude promo he was in the middle of, and, you know, going from almost champ to like down to wrestling, like the Avalanche and Shark and Big Bubba Rogers, and then finally back up to the biggest Starrcade main event in history, and just so many fond memories I think the whole, like, that era of wrestling fan has of this guy. And
Yeah,
whatever he gets, he deserves, and I mean that in a good way, as opposed to the usual asshole way.
Yeah, he does not seem like he has abused the system in any way. So good for him for not being a schmuck.
Yep, exactly.
Hey,
unless you had something else in mind, I was going to throw out real quick the
okay.
The Hall of Fame up in Waterloo, the George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. I don't have it in front of me right now. I probably could get it in front of me here pretty quickly. But for anyone who's not currently following them, let's say on Facebook or just like generally keeping track of some of their more recent announcements, the class of inductees and award winners this year is pretty exciting to me anyway. I think it's cool. It's going to be July. I think third weekend in July this year up in Waterloo.
Okay.
And they have an award that they give out to sort of like, trainers, what are they calling it? The Vern Gagne Training Award. They're giving that to Tom Pritchard this year. So he'll be in attendance. They have a few other awards that are named after old timey wrestlers. And if I'm being honest, sometimes I forget like why they named this one the Frank Gotch Award. Forgot why they named this one the George Tragos Award. But they are giving, and I'm also killing time while I scroll and try to find this. They're giving one of these awards to Arn Anderson, so he'll be in attendance this year, and I can't freaking wait. I'm like, oh, what is it here? We'll let the video speak for itself. Well, I can't hear the video. I'm doing a podcast, you guys. must be the Frank Gotch Award. And the criteria for it is, I can't remember exactly what they call it. Long story short, Arn Anderson's going to be there.
Yeah.
Both Demolition are supposed to be there.
Okay.
Tito Santana's going to be there. Greg Gagne's going to be there. Oh, my God, who else? I don't know. The list is growing, so I'm pumped about it. If anybody, again, isn't following along with what – oh, my God, Don Fry from old UFC, he's getting an award this year. Cool. People who have been there in the past that I think are coming back, depending on your opinions on some of these folks, there's still a list of people that I'm aware of. Bill DeMott is going to be there. Again, I know he had his run-ins with people as a trainer, but he has a pretty interesting story that brought him to the Hall of Fame this last year. Tony Schiavone is being given an award for announcing. Anywho, I'm pumped. I'm excited. I can't wait. I'll have plenty to report on when I get back from that. Of course, that's also months and months away. And
I think that one is off the list due to DeFrango family vacation reasons. So, I guess that even though I'm not much of a beach guy, I guess I'd rather be near the water than in the middle of Iowa.
Okay, somewhere. I understand. I got you. Well, maybe I'll knock the rust off of Dusty Giebank.
Let's table that one until after the podcast here.
So anyway, long story short, there's a lot of cool stuff going on in Waterloo this July, and I'm excited to go and can't wait to report on it. Looks like there's probably more stuff they're going to announce, more attendees, more award winners, more inductees. So if anybody's not paying attention, now's probably the time. I also think that there's a very heavy Conrad Thompson influence on this. He got an award last year, and since then, again, you know, he has a podcast with Bruce Pritchard. So Tom Pritchard is getting the trainer award. Arn Anderson has a podcast on his network. Arn Anderson's getting an award. Tony Schiavone has a podcast on this network. Tony Schiavone's getting an award. And you know what? I'm here for it because these are people who I want to meet. So, Conrad, keep influencing away. Keep bringing people who I care about, and I'll be there.
You know, this was the one other topic that I had thought of in passing. What do you, what is your level of care about, Mercedes Moné, aka Sasha Banks, causing Tony Khan to have another, just that man is a train wreck making announcements, but, AEW moving to TD Bank, Garden. So they're going to an actual honest to God, arena for a change here in their recent run, and Mercedes Moné is gonna come in. Your thoughts on what this might or might not do for AEW?
I have cooled off a lot on her in general. I probably have said this in podcasts past, but like, I feel like for every good match she's had, she's also like botched something really bad. Like there are a lot of smoke and mirrors around her as a professional wrestler. And some of those include her like character and her attitude and the way that she is and was on social media and like her hair color, her clothing, and the fact that she showed up in Japan for a cup of coffee and comes and goes and everything. I don't see her as a needle mover. You know what? Prove me wrong, because that's my opinion on it.
And I think we've all been on the same boat. Like, she's not going to save AEW.
No.
Like I like her more than you do, but also she kind of hasn't had a lot of injuries over the years, so that has not helped things. And I mean, even when she wasn't in the WWE, like she got injured in Japan, and was out for an extended time period. It's just like, okay. But I mean, she was part of some of the best matches with Charlotte and Becky. Yeah. So, and Bianca, honestly, but yeah, she's not the Rock coming into AEW. Like not even in the slightest.
Like, and just even looking at and part of it I feel like is the hype machine that is WWE. Jade Cargill coming to WWE was more interesting, I think, than Mercedes Moné coming to AEW, just by virtue of the promotional machine that's behind it. You know, you get all the social media attention, you get the rub with CM Punk and all their like backstage interactions and stuff like that, and then you look at
you get spots on what was she? I mean, they just had her. She was on some commercial with someone else famous. I want to say Jade Cargill was that they just announced. I don't know if it's an SNL alum or some. It was some comedian type female figure. I can't remember whom it was, but yeah, you get ties with ESPN out there already. Like they had AEW as a TV deal, but they don't have their claws in as many baskets as the WWE does.
No, for sure. It's, you know, good for her getting a payday, I guess. Oh. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, but otherwise I can't, I mean, and if I'm being honest, like I can't think of too many female wrestlers who are needle movers. I hate to say it, but like, I don't know what they've done to replenish the pool after, the Charlotte's, Becky's, Sasha's, Bailey's are sort of aging out. Like Bailey kind of this is, I think, I don't know how she's not running on steam, but she's somehow kept herself into the in the mix of people who are interesting. But I'm like, at this point, like none of them moving would help anybody or save anybody. And I really don't know who like of this latest crop would be able to do it either. Like there's not, it's just, it is what it is. It's the equivalent. It's like, to me, it's the difference between Kevin Nash and Scott Hall going to WCW and Mark Mero going to WWF. Like, okay, a wrestler signed a contract because that's what they do.
Oh, well, I think that's all I got for you, sir. Do you have any other top 10 lists to go through
yet. I will write some more, because obviously I had to hold on a second. Yes. Yes. Thank you, operator. The phones are ringing off the hook. People can't wait for the next 12 top 10 lists. So I'll be working on those. The people have demanded it. And I have empirical evidence right here.
That's the way that it works around here.
Just real time interaction and feedback. No, that's about it. Oh, I'm about to release my next children's book on Sunday, February 11th. Little Iris Caught a Virus.
Yeah, a world famous author two times over comes on to the podcast.
I only come on to promote my books. I'll be gone after WrestleMania.
Oh man,
I'll be gone once Moana 2 comes out.
Oh jeez. Yeah, hey, The Rock was a bad guy in Moana, too. So
that's, you know. That's right. That's right. What a bastard.
Do you have a bell time beer on your end of the podcast here, sir?
You know what's sad is that I actually don't, so I'm going to be honest with you. The drinky drink of choice is the Walmart brand Clear American Sweetened Black Cherry. This is what gets me out of bed every morning and puts me to bed most nights. It's it's my dessert. And I will say this, if I haven't said it before, I'm not ashamed to mix it with a Four Roses or a Bullet Bourbon or something like that.
Oh.
So a little bit of bourbon and a little bit of Walmart fizzy black cherry water together, or as I call it, a Walhattan, can really put baby to bed.
Well, I decided to bust out one of the nicer bottles in the old beer fridge here. I bought it quite some time ago because it was when I went down to Raleigh for a site visit, probably closer to 2 years ago than I'd like to admit. Crank Arm Brewing, so should one find themselves in Raleigh, Crank Arm Brewing is excellent. And if you go down the street like a block and on the other side of the street, there is an excellent barbecue place. Can't remember what the name is offhand, but trust me, you want to go down there so you get good beer and good food all in one place. This beer was one of their bottled ones. It's their Funky Ride series. Darker Ways, a dark saison aged in Pinot Noir barrels with Breadonomics, blueberry, blackberry, and boysenberry. It is an extremely delicious dark saison. I don't know if I've had a whole lot of those. I do like saisons in general. The Pinot Noir barrels really, really work with the saison, I will admit. It's something that sometimes the Pinot bottle or the barrels, I don't like the flavor as much. I feel that I get them in a lot of sour beers. And the Brettonomics yeast helps give a little bit of a sour taste to this. So it's kind of working on a couple of levels here, I guess. So,
well, it looks dark as hell too. Folks, I don't know if you know that I can see Kevin as we're doing this, and it's, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a Belgian quad, I would call it. It kind of has that Keller clarity to it. And
with all those flavors, would you say it's a berry good drink?
It is berry good. You can taste the Pinot barrels. You can taste the fruit in there. I got to drink there just for a short while in the afternoon, and brought home a bunch of beer from him, because that's what you do when you travel somewhere. Go buy beer at your local location. That is a Beltane beer, not exclusive take. So I am at DeFrango11. That is something on X, and the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Have a good night, grandkids.